first and third base. We will get you who is where whenever we know. They didn't know whenever we went. Drew went down to check earlier. It was the same thing last night. So Ron Whiting was at third last night, so it'll be interesting to see where he is today. As Joe Oliver and Jed Jerko get ready to head out to the plate to exchange lineup cards. Looks like Whiting's going to...
Yeah, Catman's at first
tonight. He's at first tonight, yeah. So it'll be Chris Richards behind the plate, Ron Whiting at first base, and Tony Veltri at third. So Jed Jerko and Joe Oliver have really have been able to get to know each other over this year, playing each other so many times. The Black Bears and Keys, this will be their 20th meeting, Drew?
This will be, I believe so, meeting 20. Of course, it was 12 in the first half, 10-2 in favor of West Virginia, and then they've each won four games here in the second half, so meeting 21 actually, as the Black Bears and the Keys in a 4-4 split here in the second half. So this game has a lot riding on it.
Absolutely, and it hasn't been the dominance that we're used to from the Black Bears over the Keys. Of course, nobody expected them to keep that up, Drew.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, it was something that you certainly would love to continue to see, knowing that, oh, every time the Keys are rolling into town, more than likely the Black Bears are going to be able to come out on top in at least two of three or in at least three of four. But it's a credit to the Keys for showing that resiliency and going out there and continuing to fight despite the odds being stacked against them. I know I was talking to Gareth Kwok, the Keys broadcaster, about a conversation he had with Joe Oliver before last series, and Gareth was telling me that when the bus pulled up for the opening game of the series, Joe's exact words were, "I hate this place filled with a bunch of expletives."
That makes a lot of sense to me. It's been the house of horrors for the Keys as the managers and umpires shake hands and depart from the plate. Any second now, we will go to the public address to get your starting lineups and our national anthem. It's just a matter of time now as I'm going to stall, but I just keep talking until that's announced right now.
Jed was talking too long there to the umpires, and the there they are.
Same. Third base, number 13, Jake Plastiak. Batting fifth, the catcher, number 51,
ready for baseball here at Monongalia County Ballpark. It's the Frederick Keys versus the West Virginia Black Bears. I'm Michael Slice, joined by my broadcast partner, Drew Von Sayo, as we get our ceremonial first pitch. It'll be Ryan Mann versus Drew Minter, as I'll get you started here with your Frederick Keys lineup. Amir Wright, Hunter Jump, and Evan Berkey are the first three, followed by Jake Plastiak, Trevor Johnson, and Alex Beza. Matt Oldham, Calvin Rucker, and Tyrese Claiborne will round out the Keys order. They'll face, as I mentioned before, Ryan Mann. Mann is 4-1 with a 5.79 ERA. Got roughed up in his start here last time against these Keys. He's thrown 18 2/3 innings, allowing 25 hits and 12 earned runs. What can you tell us about West Virginia starter today, Drew?
Well, Ryan Mann, certainly one that is very versatile. We've seen him a lot in relief. We've seen him make a few starts. And Ryan Mann, I'm expecting some solid things out of him today. He's going out there with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, looking to let the Keys know that his start Sunday afternoon was the fluke, and he's capable of much more than that. He's got to figure out how to limit the hard hits, and when he does limit those hard hits, have them be right at one of his defenders behind him. And if anybody is capable of that, it's going to be Ryan Mann here, as he proves to Jed Jerko and JT Thomas that he deserves to stay in the rotation.
Absolutely. And defensively, the Black Bears line up as follows. From left field to right field, Adon Fernandez, Turner Hill, and Ruben Fontes. Around the diamond, third to first, Jack Elliott and Anthony Stellan. Maddox Houghton gets the start at second base, and Logan Mathieu will be at first, and J.C. Santini does the catching for Ryan Mann. We're just about ready for baseball here. Mann's going to come at you with a bunch of arms and legs, Drew. 6'5", 180 out of Lawrenceville, Georgia, out of Gwinnett College, which is in Gwinnett, Georgia. We're about ready for baseball here. The first three hitters that he will face are Amir Wright, Hunter Jump, and Evan Berkey, as the left-handed Wright makes his way into the batter's box. Amir Wright out of Ball State University. After four seasons at St. Leo and St. Joseph's, the D2 institution, Ryan Mann winds up, and we are underway with a strike.
That's crucial there for Ryan Mann to get ahead of hitters. That's going to help him really set his own tempo and get himself set into a rhythm.
Mann kicks and delivers the 0-1. It is just inside. Ball one. Your umpires tonight, behind the plate is Chris Richards. At first base, Ron Catman Whiting. And at third, it's Tony Veltri. Mann winds up and delivers the 1-1. It's fouled off the screen. Quickly, one ball and two strikes on the leadoff.
And that right there, Amir Wright, was very late to the pitch there from Ryan Mann, just trying to get a slap at it, doing everything he could not to go down with the wave and a miss, and just got the end of the barrel to it.
1-2 pitch from Mann is laced back up the middle, a base hit into center field, and the Keys get the leadoff man on with a hard hit single.
And that's what Amir Wright does for you at the top of the Frederick Keys lineup. Goes out there, waits for a pitch that he likes, and then just hits it where nobody is out in the shallow center field.
Hunter Jump will step in. He's been here all year, as Jake Plastiak has been. Teammates at the University of Kentucky. Jump standing in at 5'10", 220. He's had his fair share of big hits here at Mon County Ballpark. Another guy that likes to hit at this place. As Mann's first pitch to him is rolled on the ground and off of the shortstop Stellan's chest and rolls away. Everybody's going to be safe. A routine double play ball turns into nothing.
And that's the unfortunate circumstances that Ryan Mann had to deal with in his last start with Stellan, or any member of the West Virginia defense being unable to field balls cleanly. And that one stings a bit as Stellan picks up the error.
Absolutely, and it'll now be Evan Berkey, who also loves hitting here. So a routine double play ball for naught. It's an E6 as the right-handed Berkey now standing in out of the University of Evansville. work. He was 2-for-5 in last night's contest. Man's first pitch to him is an excuse me swing, fair ball down the right field line. It's just going to roll and roll and roll. One run is in. Picking it up is Fontes. He'll get it in. It's an RBI double for Evan Berkey.
And Berkey able to just sneak it down the right field line. Logan Matthew playing off just a tad too much, but it's the same thing we're seeing here early again off of Ryan Mann, where they're not necessarily being hit the hardest. Of course, it was scorched off the bat of Amir Wright, but just some unfortunate defense and great placement off the bats of the Frederick Keys.
That was extremely unlucky there, Drew. Just a little, excuse me, check swing over on the vacated right side, and a little, excuse me, double, really, as Jake Plastiak steps in now. He's got two runners in scoring position, still nobody out. The first pitch to him is chopped to the backstop, 0-1. So some bad luck so far for Ryan Mann. A hard hit single, then a routine double play ball that was off the chest of the shortstop, Stellan. Everybody was safe, and then an excuse me check swing double. The Keys lead at 1-0. Mann still looking for his first out. The 0-1 to Plastiak is low and in, ball one.
And that's a pitch right there from Ryan Mann that I'm not necessarily upset about. You know, you're trying to get ahead of Plastiak 0-2 with two runners in scoring position. You're just trying to get swings and misses any way you can.
Absolutely. Mann's 1-1 is in there. Strike two, a fastball at 89 miles an hour. He's ahead of Plastiak. Mann had a 3.50 at Gwinnett University, or Gwinnett College, I should say, in 43 and two-thirds innings pitched. 47 strikeouts in those 43 innings. The 1-2 pitch, and he got him swinging. There's a strikeout. And a big one at that for Ryan Mann. There's one away.
Well, that's power against power right there. And Ryan Mann just ramped back and found a few extra ticks on the fastball up and away. Great location and getting a very big first out here for West Virginia in the top of the inning.
A 5'8", 170-pound catcher, Trevor Johnson, steps in now at McPherson College. Second base last night. His error almost proved costly to the Keys, but they were able to work around it as the first pitch to him is laid in there at 89 miles an hour, strike one. We talk about limiting damage all the time. Drew would be huge here if he could get out of this.
Absolutely. Would be ideal if he doesn't concede anymore, but one wouldn't necessarily be the end of the world.
The 0-1 pitch is fouled straight down. Quickly 0-2. Where do you go from here?
Honestly, I think being in this 0-2 situation, you can afford to perhaps utilize a waste pitch, curveball down and away, try and get that swing and a miss, and if Johnson holds up in time, then you credit him and you go from there.
No balls and two strikes on the catcher, Johnson. Mann kicks and delivers. He got him looking. 90 miles an hour on the outer black, a nice pitch. And he's one out away from getting out of this with only allowing one run as Johnson's having his words right now with Chris Richards.
Well, as we see here on the replay, J.C. Santini, 110%, just bought Ryan Mann a strike. I mean, that pitch, a little bit low, a little bit outside, and Santini snapped it back in onto the outer black.
Beautiful by Santini. We've seen him in both him and Noah Metcalf steal strikes over the last couple weeks here. The first pitch here to the first baseman, Beza, is in for strike one. Mann now pounding the zone after a bit of an unfortunate start to the inning. Mann is working from the windup with the runners on second and third. The 0-1 pitch to the first baseman is in the dirt, blocked and kept close by Santini, so no advance.
And see, that's almost one of those where if you're Santini, you see the runner and Hunter jump at third base watching you, I'd almost try to play a little game of chicken. See if you can just keep letting that ball roll slightly while it's within your range and see if you can get jumped to come sprinting down the line or just enough and then have Jack Elliott recognize that and be ready to cover the bag with the throw down.
It's a big risk right there. High reward as well. The 1-1 pitch to Beza is inside. Count moves to 2-1. Matt Oldham is on deck. Losing Beza or putting Beza on at the open base might not be the worst thing.
It certainly wouldn't be the worst thing, wouldn't be the best thing either, and Brian Mann's looking to just get out of the inning.
The 2-1 pitch is chopped foul by the West Virginia dugout. So two balls and two strikes. Ryan Mann trying to tightrope out of danger here. It's second and third and two outs. He struck out the last two guys, one looking, one swinging. The Keys lead at 1-0 here in the top of the first. Mann gets his signs, agrees, winds up, and a 2-2 pitch. Just inside. Santini couldn't buy him a call. Mann was halfway to the dugout.
Oh, Mann 100% thought that was strike three, and we check it here on the replay. Right at the knees, but just a bit too far inside.
A tad inside. Santini couldn't buy the call either. So 3-2. The payoff pitch from Ryan Mann. And is laced to right field, and it's going to get down. One run is in. Being waved around is Berkey. He will score. And Alex Beza, for the second straight day, comes up with a huge two-out, two-RBI single, and damage is done. 3-0 Keys.
And if you're Ryan Mann, that's a punch to the gut right there. I mean, you're one strike away from getting out of the inning with just one run against. You got squeezed a little bit there by Chris Richards on the previous pitch, and then for Beza to drop that one into right field is the killer there. And now for Ryan Mann, these early inning struggles continue.
And this one really hasn't been his fault. There was an error back there, and it was a little, double. So, a bit unfortunate here. We'll see how Mann responds. Matt Oldham steps in. The first pitch to him is up high, ball one. Oldham out of NC State. As he only appeared in 9 games for the Wolfpack last year. Only 2 starts. He was 3-for-12 with an RBI. Second pitch to him is inside. 2 balls and no strikes. Oldham is listed as a catcher. He is playing right field tonight. 6 foot, 199 pounds. As Mann comes set at the belt and delivers the 2-0 pitch, it is high, ball three. Got to collect yourself out there if you're Ryan Mann.
Absolutely. I mean, I understand, you know, you don't want to concede any more hits than you have already to this point, but you've got to hit the zone in some regard, and he's just not doing it in this at-bat.
3 balls, no strikes to Matt Oldham. The pitch is laid in there at 89, strike one.
And that's what you want to see from Ryan Mann. Just take it one pitch at a time, focus on hitting your spot, and go out there and deliver strikes consistently.
Mann coming set at the belt, getting his sign and delivering the 3-1 pitch. It is in there for strike two. So Mann, after being down 3-0, has worked his way back to full.
And we see Oldham having a word there with Chris Richards. I think Santini bought another strike.
Santini's very good at that. We know that before. 3-2, two outs. The runner, Beza, will be off with this pitch. There he goes, and it is just missing, maybe a little bit low. So it's a walk, and the inning will continue.
The pitch there was down and in from Ryan Mann. Well off the plate. Easy decision there for Chris Richards to make. And, yeah, Santini unfortunately can't buy that one as a strike.
That was pitch number 25 of this first inning thus far for Ryan Mann. Now he's got to keep the damage at 3. First and second, 2 outs here for the designated hitter, Calvin Rucker. First pitch to Rucker is in there. Santini may have bought another.
That one's certainly right in there at the knees. And if it was a little bit low, Calvin Rucker certainly had no objection to it.
Calls Tampa, Florida home, does Rucker out of Savannah State. And that one is back up the gut. It's going to get past a diving shortstop, Stellan. Here's the throw to the plate by Hill. It is just late, and the Keys lead it 4-0.
And that one there, that is going to hurt again if you're Ryan Mann. And now I keep looking down to the first base dugout, waiting to see if JT Thomas is going to go out there at any point in this inning. But he's just letting Ryan Mann continue. I mean, this is the 9th batter of the Keys lineup to come to the plate in the inning.
As the first base coach had to make his way to the dugout to give all the arm guards, elbow guards, and shin guards back to the rightful owners. With Amir Wright on deck, he would be the 10th batter. But for now, it's Tyrese Claiborne. He's no slouch out of the nine hole. He's only hitting 250, but we've seen what he can do as the first pitch to the 5'5" second baseman is high. Small strike zone here for Claiborne.
One interesting thing that I've found out with talking to Gareth of the Frederick Keys is that they are without Marcus Smith, one of their assistant coaches. So they've been sending players out to coach first base. Tonight it's Robert Brooks.
I just realized that. As this one's flared out to right field, Fontes is under it, and he puts a merciful end to this inning. After 29 pitches by Ryan Mann and 4 runs conceded, the top of the first comes to an end. We'll head to the bottom of the inning. The Keys lead it 4-0. We're back here at Monongalia County Ballpark as the Frederick Keys scored 4 runs on 4 hits in air and left 2 on base. They nearly bat around in the first inning, sending all 9 men to the plate. So the Black Bears offense has a hole to dig out of early, and they will face Drew Minter, who has been very good in his limited draft league time thus far. We saw him last Sunday in the rain-shortened game. He was exceptional on the year. He's 1-0 with a 1.64 ERA in 11 innings. Has allowed 7 hits and only 2 earned runs. Has hit 3 batters, walked 7, and struck out 13. What are you looking for from Minter tonight?
Honestly, I think when it comes to Minter, just a matter of getting to him early. It seemed as if the Black Bears bats were a little bit patient, too patient in that regard on Sunday when the Keys were looking to force the series split, which they ultimately got. And so now if these Black Bears can get ahead of Minter early in the count, after seeing him once already, knowing what he's capable of, I think they're going to find themselves in a lot more successful scenarios.
This is how the Black Bears will hit Hill, Fontes, Hernandez, Matthew, Fernandez, Elliott, Stellan, Santini, Houghton. Defensively, the Keys from left field to right field, jump. Hunter Jump, Amir Wright, and Matt Oldham around the diamond, third to first. Jake Plastiak, Evan Berkey, Tyrese Claiborne, and Alex Beza. Trevor Johnson does the catching for Drew Minter. Turner Hill will be the first to greet the right-hander. Minter stands at 6'3", 210 pounds out of Lake City, Texas, the University of the Incarnate Word. He'll face Marietta College's Turner Hill, one of the best collegiate hitters for D3 Marietta this year and the best hitter in the draft league here in the second half. 5.09 is the average as the first pitch to him is ball one. He'll hit 443 at Marietta, so him hitting over 500 is really no surprise.
Certainly no surprise, and arguably against better competition too.
And the 1-0 pitch is, I thought it was low, but Johnson's getting the call there. One ball and a strike. Hill was a two-sport athlete, basketball and baseball in high school. 2-time first-team All-Ohio in baseball as well. As the 1-1 pitch is inside, ball two. Of course, Marietta College located in southern Ohio. I know I toured there. They're right along the Ohio River by close to West Virginia and Kentucky. Two balls and one strike on today's center fielder. Minter kicks and delivers. Hill gives this one a ride to center, but Wright is back on it and makes the grab for an easy out number one.
That one right there, bit up and in on Turner Hill, jammed him, and still some solid contact there from Turner Hill, and just rather unfortunate that it was pretty much right at Amir Wright.
So Ruben Fontes will step in now. Fontes playing right field tonight out of Bonita, California, Northwestern University. First pitch to him is low, ball one. Fontes hit 318 at Northwestern this season. He was also a two-sport star in baseball and basketball in high school at St. Augustine High School. He was an honorable mention for Perfect Game California in 2017. The 1-0 pitch is bounced in, two balls and no strikes.
And this is a good spot to be in if you are Ruben Fontes, recognizing you're in the driver's seat and can be a little bit more selective with what you swing at.
Very humid, 80 degrees tonight. As Minter winds up and delivers the 2-0, Fontes out to left field, battling the sun as Hunter Jump. And he's got a beat on it, and he'll make the grab and left. We've seen that sun wreak havoc on left fielders for any team that's come in here, but Hunter Jump has played it as much as pretty much anybody, any non-black bear.
Absolutely, and Hunter Jump doing it without sunglasses as he somehow able to see the ball despite the sun and pulls that one in with ease for out number two.
Ryan Hernandez will step in. I talked about it in the pregame show. I called a predicting a home run tonight for Hernandez. It seemed like it's been a while here at home that he's left the yard, as the defense of the keys and a pretty major shift for Hernandez here. As Minter's first pitch is taken once again for a ball. The first baseman playing off the bag. Second baseman Claiborne is pretty up the middle, just to the right of second base. Shortstop and third baseman really shaded to the left. Same with the outfielders. There's a ton of room down the right field line. The right fielder's playing right center out there as Hernandez fouls it off of catcher Trevor Johnson. One ball and a strike. Wright is shaded to almost a left center field position, and Jump playing shaded towards the third base line out in left field. So definitely shifting to the pole side. Tons of room if he's able to go the other way.
And the Keys did that just the last batter, too, with Ruben Fontes. They were shifted to the right, his pool side, and Fontes went oppo.
If Hernandez puts a lazy fly ball out to dead right field, maybe towards the line, that thing might drop. As he does just that, it's a high fly ball, though, deep to right field, going back is Oldham at the track. It's off the top of the wall. It's going to roll back towards the infield. Hernandez is around second. He's heading to third. Galuski will hold him. It's a triple for Hernandez, who is fired up.
Ryan Hernandez missing a home run there by mere inches as Matt Oldham thought he had a play on it. The long run with him being shifted to the right center gap.
By an inch.
And Ryan Hernandez was chugging there around the bases, losing his helmet between second and third, about halfway there, and ultimately had to go retrieve it.
Literally just mentioned how I possibly predicted the home run, and a fly ball to right could be trouble, and he does almost exactly that, just missing by an inch, but it's a triple for Hernandez. Now, it seems like it's pretty big to get this run in.
Would have to agree.
First pitch is outside, so that's four straight hitters started with the ball here for Drew Minter. Claiborne, the second baseman, playing in shallow right field. The shortstop, Berkey, is on the left side of second base playing on the outfield grass as well. So there's a big hole up the middle and just to the right for the left-handed hitter as Matthew skies this to dead center. Wright has a beat on it going back. A step in front of the warning track will make the catch. So the two-out triple cannot come around to score. And the Keys hold tight. It's 4-0 Frederick heading to the second inning. You're listening to the Black Bears Radio Network.
Standing behind.
We're back here at Monongalia County Ballpark for the top of the second. The Keys up to bat. It'll be Amir Wright, his second plate appearance, second time leading off in as many innings. The Keys sent 9 to the plate and scored 4 runs in the first. Ryan Mann looking to now eat some innings. As Amir Wright shows bunt, it's well inside, ball one.
And I'm not surprised Amir Wright tried to bunt for a base hit there. He certainly got the speed for it, and just trying to test Jack Elliott as well.
One ball, no strikes to Amir Wright. He sends this one in the air deep to right center field. Hill has a beat on it, though, under it, and will make the catch. So a good start to this inning for Ryan Mann.
And that's a start Ryan Mann needs to an inning. Allows him to settle in a little bit and go through this Frederick Keys order for the second time, much sooner than expected.
And, of course, 4 runs let up in the first. It was a bit unlucky. I honestly only think he deserved 2 of those 4. There was an error in there and a little, excuse me, check swing double that really was unlucky. There were some hard hit balls in there as well, as the first pitch here to Hunter Jump is low, ball one. Jump reached on that error by the shortstop Stellan back in last inning. Feels like a while ago now. He scored later on, as the 1-0 is also down low. 2 balls and no strikes to the left fielder. Ryan Mann towing the rubber. Like I mentioned before, a lot of arms and legs coming at you. 6'5", 180 pounds. The 2-0 pitch is down low. 3 balls and no strikes.
If you're Ryan Mann, you don't necessarily want to walk Hunter Jump right after getting an out.
And Jump swinging on 3-0, a line drive to center field. Hill with a beat on it, and he'll make the catch. So a fly out to center and a line out to center to start us off here. 2 up, 2 down.
Turner Hill certainly has been busy this inning, but that's exactly what you want for Ryan Mann. I mean, they're hitting the ball off of you in this inning, but it's right at somebody in your defense.
Looks like there's some weather to our, I believe that is south and east, or south and west, Drew? I believe that is southwest that way, because 79 runs that way, so that's got to be south and west.
I'd have to agree with that. Makes sense to me.
As the first pitch to Mann is down low, you know it pays to be an Eagle Scout, Drew. You learn all that compass stuff.
Maybe you should look into being a meteorologist. You might be more accurate than the ones that we currently have.
You know, it's funny because in eighth grade, that's what I thought I wanted to be. As it is 1 ball and no strikes here, it's down low 2-0 to Evan Berkey. I'm glad I chose this path, though, Drew. I'm not going to lie.
What was the realization that made you switch?
Well, we have Verizon, and they were in disputes and contract with the Weather Channel, which I would watch a lot, and it went away for AccuWeather, and I got disinterested. And the 2-0 pitch is laced to third base. A diving stop by Elliott, but called foul by Tony Veltri down there. I don't know about that one.
Yeah, that one's certainly very close as we check it here on the replay and over the back. And
yeah, he's in fair territory, though. Like, he catches it in foul, but his legs are in fair.
But the ball went over the bag, and then it would have dropped down into foul territory.
I guess so.
I mean, that's a good eye from Tony Veltri, recognizing where the ball would have hit. And it certainly helps Ryan Mann now, because you get a chance to retire Berkey. If that ball's ruled fair, Jack Elliott doesn't have a play.
Oh, absolutely. The Black Bears possibly could have caught a break there, but it definitely works out in their favor. As 2 balls and 1 strike to the 3-hitter, the shortstop, Evan Berkey. Mann threw 29 first-inning pitches, so a quick inning here would go a long way. The 2-1 to the shortstop is, just missing high. 3 balls and a strike. Jake Plastiak lurks on deck. Berkey had the excuse-me check swing RBI double his first time. He also scored. As the 3-1 pitch is laid right over the heart of the plate, 3 balls and 2 strikes.
And now this is a big spot for Ryan Mann, one pitch away from being through the inning. I mean, this is what you need if you're Ryan Mann, that response inning.
3-2 pitch is fouled over our heads here in the booth. So we'll do the 3-2 once again. So three balls and two strikes here, two outs. Ryan Mann pitching to Evan Berkey. The payoff again is in there, strike three. Buying a call once again to Santini. Berkey frustrated. He throws his helmet down in disgust. He's having some words with Chris Richards. And we'll head to the bottom of the second inning. Keys four, Black Bears nothing.
That's why Joe went out, to avoid him from getting tossed.
All right, fans, get on your feet and give us your best flex. It's time for your performance flex cam.
Back here at Monongalia County Ballpark, it was a strikeout looking for Evan Berkey. He had a long talk with home plate umpire Chris Richards before Joe Oliver had to get his shortstop away so he wouldn't get thrown out of the game. It's still 4-0 Keys. It'll be eight on Fernandez, Jack Elliott, and Anthony Stellan to face Drew Minter.
I kind of wanted to see Berkey get tossed there. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I'm with you. That would have been fun. I want to see somebody get tossed. I missed the Joe Oliver ejection earlier this year.
That was quite comical, I will say.
I'm mad about that. I'm not kind of mad. I am mad about that. So I do want to see an ejection from somebody, preferably an opposing player or coach, before I leave. But we'll see. Adon Fernandez stepping in. He had a pinch hit double in the ninth last night. The first pitch to him is in there, strike one. It's actually the first hitter out of the five that has been started with a strike. Fernandez out of Nova Southeastern University at 306, 12 homers and 49 RBIs at Nova Southeastern this spring. This one is high in the air but foul down the left field line. I actually have no idea where that came down.
You see all the cars there slamming on the brakes, recognizing that one could be anywhere in the road, and nobody wants to go home with a broken windshield.
So no balls and two strikes. The pitch to Fernandez is once again skied high and out of play, this time down the first baseline into the seats. It's right by the lady who sang the national anthem, I think. She did a wonderful job. As the count remains 0-2 on Fernandez, he won three state titles at Archbishop McCarthy. He was named NSBN's All-American First Team in both 2016 and 2017, so a very decorated high school player is Adon Fernandez. As Minter delivers the 0-2, it is a 58-foot breaking ball, one ball, two strikes.
And I understand, you know, there's the concept of a waste pitch, but if you're Drew Minter, it's got to be a little bit closer to the plate if you're going to try that tactic.
So one ball, two strikes here on the fifth hitter. It is also down low and outside, so the count runs to 2 balls and 2 strikes. As Drew Minter had Fernandez at 0-2. Fernandez has fought his way back to even. He gets his sign, taking a while out there on the mound, takes a deep breath, winds up in. The 2-2 pitch is fouled back to the screen. We'll do it again.
And that's a pitch there that was a little bit too close for comfort for Adon Fernandez. Fastball just above the letters. Don't necessarily want to swing at it, but you'd much rather get some wood to that pitch than be rung up by home plate umpire Chris Richards.
Minter looking in. Shakes off his catcher a couple times. Now gets something he likes. The 2-2 once again. Swung on and missed. It's a curveball that was almost in the dirt. Fell off the table. Strike 3.
And again, Minter continuing to use all of his pitches well. I mean, that's a perfect 12-6 curveball right there from Drew Minter. That's textbook. And a big first out for him trying to keep the Black Bears scoreless.
Jack Elliott, the third baseman, steps in out of Mercyhurst University up in my collegiate neck of the woods almost, Drew. Up by Erie, Pennsylvania. I'm about 1 hour and 15 from Erie from where I attend school as the first pitch is chopped foul to the right side, 0-1. He hit .292 with 14 homers and 42 ribbies at Mercyhurst this season. Out of Willoughby Hills, Ohio. Standing in a left-handed hitter, the 1-0 is in and low, and count moves to 1 ball and 1 strike.
You know, Jack Elliott, when he was at Mercyhurst, quickly gained the reputation of being the do-it-all player, jack of all trades.
Interesting. We've really only seen him over a third this year. 1-1 is outside. Almost framing it is Johnson, but not fooled as Chris Richards behind the plate, so 2-1.
I believe there was a game or two where we saw Jack Elliott over at second base.
Must have been on the road. Unless I just completely missed it, which is a very high possibility. 3 balls and a strike as the 2-1 pitch is up high. So a good hitter's count here for Elliott, looking for a base runners once again. Some cold-looking clouds out there. You can see a rainbow looks like forming out about above the center field wall.
Well in the distance.
Yeah, rain well in the distance, but not hitting us tonight, we don't think. The 3-1 pitch is chopped. Claiborne has to charge quickly, throws to first, and just in time to get Elliott. Score that 4-3.
And that was a tough play there for Tyrese Claiborne with him being well back on the outfield grass. I mean, he came charging in like a madman for that baseball. He was just a step back further into the outfield. I think Jack Elliott's able to beat that one out, but fortunately for the Keys, Claiborne positioned just well enough to record the out.
Anthony Stellan coming up. He was the 9-hitter last night, had a very good night last night as well, a couple hits. Got pinch hit for in the 9th inning, though. The first pitch to him is low in the dirt, ball 1. Some interesting outfield alignment here. You have the center fielder right playing on the WV logo, pretty shallow. And left fielder straight up and jump, and the right fielder way back by the warning track is Oldham. So interesting alignment there as the 1-0 pitch is up high and in, 2 balls and no strikes.
You definitely see some very odd shifts with the infield. Very rarely do you see it with the outfield. And now Joe Oliver going to add a new one into the book of awkward shifts.
So 2 balls and no strikes. Here's the pitch. It's low, ball 3. Stellan, the shortstop, looking to make up for the first inning error. 3 balls, no strikes. We'll see if he gets the take sign or if he's able to swing away. And the 3-0 pitch is in there at the knees for strike 1. So 2 gone here in the bottom of the 2nd inning. Four nothing Keys. Stellan, the 3-1 pitch is outside, so a 2-out walk for Anthony Stellan. That'll be the second base runner the Bears have had tonight, both with 2 outs.
And that's a great take there from Stellan, recognizing you have a chance to keep the inning alive and possibly get a chance to claw yourself back into this one. And as we said last night many times, just pass the baton and get on for the guy behind you.
J.C. Santini now steps in, the right-handed hitting catcher. Santini out of Concord University. Excuse me, that is Stellan. Santini's out of Northwestern. My apologies. He only hit 163 at Northwestern this year with two homers and 14 RBIs. Definitely a defense-first catcher. First pitch to him is down low, ball one.
Santini, just like Turner Hill, hitting much better here in the draft league than at his collegiate level of baseball.
So one ball and no strikes to Santini. The second pitch to him is looped to the left side. Under it is Plastiak. He'll make the catch, and we're through two innings here at Monongalia County Ballpark. Score is Keys 4 and Black Bear 0.
Double Stuff Dave is your winner tonight of the Pepperoni Roll Race. He now takes a 10-9-7 lead over Patty and Hank. As Ryan Mann heads out for another inning of work, he had a good second. Getting 1-2-3, Drew, what does Mann need to do to have continued success?
Same exact thing, another 1-2-3. If it's not that 1-2-3, then you've got to go out and just limit the walks, limit the hits against. I mean, you cannot have another inning like the first inning. It's got to be very much similar to what we saw last inning from Mann.
Absolutely. Plastiak stepping in now. Left-handed switch hitter hitting lefty. Strike one. He struck out swinging his first time. Mann winds up and delivers the 0-1 pitch. It is in there for strike two. Maybe Santini buying a call again. That's And keeping track, that's about four calls that I've noticed that have been framed very well.
That's exactly what Santini does back there. He'll buy you strikes, he'll command the zone, and guide you in the process.
The 0-2 pitch popped to center field. Plastiak flipping the bat in disgust. Hill has room, and he'll make the catch. That's now five straight keys retired for Mann, who's starting to settle into this ballgame.
Mann certainly getting comfortable, and you know, we talk about things you don't see every day. I don't think I've ever seen somebody do a bat flip out of frustration.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's better than just slamming it down.
That's true. I mean, when you think of bat flips, it's as a celebratory action, not a frustrated action.
Absolutely. Stepping in now is Trevor Johnson. He struck out looking back in the first inning. First pitch to him is laced, and oh, what a scoop by Matthew Hill. Flipped the man covering. What a play! Two away.
That truly was something else, and I don't know how Matthew fielded that on the crow hop, moving to his right and then able to transfer it on the ground and flip it to Ryan Mann. That truly was something first remarkable over there at first base from Logan Matthew.
He was already playing off the line with the right-handed hitter and nobody on. A diving, tumbling scoop. And from his rear end, a flip to Mann, who needed all 6'5 to catch that one. Baeza stepping in now takes ball one and two away here. That's six straight retired. Some flashy defense that we talked about, man, not getting help early. There's some help.
Absolutely. I was just thinking that as well. Didn't get help early, didn't get help his last start, and now gets bailed out of jail by Logan Matthew.
And the 1-0 is fouled off behind us, and count will move to one ball and one strike. We can really see that rainbow now about two ridges over, straight dead center, maybe a little to the right.
Slightly to the right.
Some really cool-looking clouds moving through the area. Doesn't look like we're getting hit today. That is a good thing. As Ryan Mann winds up and delivers the 1-1 pitch. It is just missing outside. Santini tried to buy that one, too, 2-1.
I mean, J.C. Santini is going to try to buy every call, but there's this realistic window of how far the pitch is off the plate that he can have a chance to do so.
2-1 pitch is laser beamed on to the concourse out here. First base line, two balls, two strikes. A strike away from retiring his seventh in a row. As Ryan Mann looking to officially settle into this ball game. Winds up and the 2-2 to Baeza is down low. Good block by Santini, three balls and two strikes.
And again, I'm not necessarily upset by the pitch there from Ryan Mann. You're trying to induce that swing and miss to get yourself out of the inning, and now you get one more shot to do so.
The payoff pitch by Mann to Baeza, up high, ball four. So the streak of six consecutive batters retired comes to an end. Baeza now a two RBI single and a walk, bringing up Matt Oldham.
And that pitch there from Mann, that one is one of the more pitches that I will have a little bit of a complaint about. If you're going to deliver a payoff pitch with a fastball, it's got to be remotely close to the zone, and that pitch just continued to tail up and away from Baeza.
So Oldham walked his first time up out of Pittsburgh, North Carolina. NC State product. I mentioned in his first at-bat didn't see much playing time with the Wolfpack this season in the ACC. First pitch to Oldham is popped to the left side. Some left fielder and third baseman will give chase, but it bounces off the concourse and onto the road, much to the dismay of the kids chasing after it. Rolling down the road right now. No balls and one strike here on Matt Oldham. Here's the pitch. It's chopped foul down the third baseline once again. So no balls and two strikes. Mann looking to get out of the third here. And I would still call it officially settling in.
I would agree. We just saw somebody driving on the road hop out of their car and grab that baseball.
That is really cool. Really cool. As the count 0-2 now. Mann set at the belt. He'll give a look over to first. Pauses, and the 0-2, laced right back out the middle, a base hit. Stopping at second is Baeza, and the Keys are setting up shop with two outs. It's a base hit.
And Matt Oldham sounded like he shattered the bat there, pitch that was a little bit up and in on him, and just game of hitting it where they're not, dropping it in into very, very shallow center field.
And for shattering the bat, that ball was hit really hard. So Rucker comes up now. He singled as well in the first inning. That was an RBI single, of course. He scored. Baeza. It was this exact same situation that Rucker had. Two outs in first and second. As Mann looking to work out of danger. First pitch is away. One ball and a strike. No strikes. So Baeza on second, on first is Matt Oldham.
Rucker at the plate. It's laced right back up the middle once again. Bays is going to be waved home. Turner Hill's throw is a good one, and he just slides in through the tag. How did he score there? My goodness. That throw is on the money. What a slide by Alex Bays as you get a look at the replay.
And I thought for sure that Turner Hill had gunned him down. Hill fired strong to the plate, and we check it here. It was the back foot that just caught the plate the second before Santini applied the tag. And originally it was the right foot that caught the plate, but it slid over, and then the runner in Beza realized that and then just got it down a split second before being tagged.
Excellent slide. A good play all around by the defense and the offense there. So Claiborne comes in, and a nice pick by Santini to hold the runners where they are. Count one ball, no strikes. The Keys lead it 5-0 here. And once again, Claiborne in the exact same situation he was in the first inning. First and second, two outs. He flew to right in this situation last time. So it's the nine hitter's second plate appearance, and Maddox Houghton, the nine hitter for the Bears, has not come up to the plate yet. As Claiborne once again skies it to the right side, this time on the infield. In is the first baseman, Matthew. He makes the catch, so one run comes across the score, but limiting the damage is Ryan Mann. Will head to the bottom of the third inning. The Keys lead the Black Bears by a score of 5-0.
WVU Medicine's primary care providers deliver top quality care close to home for patients of all ages, from infants to seniors. They specialize in diagnosing, treating, and preventing a wide variety of conditions, and if needed, can refer you to a WVU Medicine specialist for more advanced care. Visit wvumedicine.org/primarycare.
We're back here at Monongalia County Ballpark for the bottom of the third. The Keys leading the Black Bears 5-0, and West Virginia looking to get something started off of Drew Minter. They've struggled the last seven innings against Minter, only plating two runs, and those runs were even came in a blowout, and it was a wet mound, wet ball. He was slipping out there, so definitely been a thorn in the side here of the Black Bears thus far. First pitch here to Maddox. Houghton is inside, maybe up a little bit as well. Ball one. Houghton out of Lipscomb hit 300 there with five homers and 30 RBIs. He's a part of the 2021 Ace Sun All-Academic Team. He was a two-sport star, baseball and football in high school, as the 1-0 pitch is outside, two balls and no strikes.
And if you're Maddox Houghton, again, you're just looking to get on, turn the lineup over, and ideally, the heart of the order comes to the plate in this inning here against Drew Minter.
That would be ideal for the Black Bears, and that would probably spell some runs as well. They need them. Only one hit through two innings as Houghton swinging at the 2-0 pitch. Chops it foul, so two balls and a strike. Houghton looks looking to do some damage after getting the night off last night. He's at second base today. Traditionally an outfielder, but we've seen him there before. The 2-1 pitch is up high, 3-1.
And this is, again, a solid spot for Houghton to be in the driver's seat of the at-bat, and a chance for him to have the odds in his favor of, at the very least, getting on in one way, shape, or form.
Of course, Houghton's very speedy as well, and he will take ball four low. So it's finally a leadoff base runner, and a runner without two outs, I should say, as well. And the Bears looking to get in business here with Turner Hill.
A good take there from Houghton. Pitch just a little bit down and away, but get yourself on and pass the baton to the guy behind you.
So Hill now, of course, out of Marietta, flew out to the center fielder right his first time. That rainbow is really coming through now to center. It's huge, arching up into the sky. Adds to the beauty of Mon County Ballpark in the surrounding Morgantown area. And the first pitch to him is high, ball one.
It was a little bit outside. You were on the right track.
Yeah, close enough. As we've got one ball and no strike, he's not really got ahead of many hitters tonight, as he'll check on Houghton at first back safely.
And that's something that the Black Bears absolutely cannot afford, is for Maddox Houghton or any runner in that regard to get picked off over at first base.
Of course, Houghton did slide back in safely, so not yet. Hopefully we won't have to say that. And that ball is chopped to first. Beza makes a nice play over there. Skies the throw into left field. Houghton's going to try for third. There's the throw to the third. It is not in time. So the Black Bears are setting up shop, and it's a very, very, very rare error from the first baseman, Beza, who won a collegiate gold glove.
Yeah, Alex Beza, a gold glover at Utah, was one error in just over 500 chances, whether that be fielding or throwing. And for Beza to just airmail that one into left field is truly insane. I mean, any fan here tonight at the Mon or those who are listening at home, that's essentially history, because it's a rare sight to see from Beza.
Yeah, whenever that ball was to first, I was surprised he went to second at first. Anyway, I thought he was just going to step on the first for the out in a 5-0 game, but instead the Black Bears now are going to have the middle of that order up with runners on. Nobody out, first and third for Ruben Fontes. He flew out to left his first time. The first pitch to him is in there at the knees, strike one. Fontes, out of Northwestern University. His father actually played football at Columbia. So an athletic family altogether. As they're going to check on Hill, and ooh, that was close. Safely back is Hill, but very close to getting picked off.
Very close, and you could tell Beza was confident that they got Hill over at first. Ron Whiting disagreeing.
Catman over there at first base. He was at third last night. The 0-1 pitch is laced into left field. A base hit, and the Black Bears are on the board. Ruben Fontes comes through. Still nobody out.
The battling Black Bears continue their mojo here in this contest. And Ruben Fontes again taking it the opposite way out into left field. That one just over the head of Evan Berkey. A solid piece of hitting on a pitch that was a little bit inside, and now makes things interesting with Ryan Hernandez coming to the plate.
Here's Ryan Hernandez. I'm still banking on that home run, Drew. He was inches away from going Oppo Taco in the first. He ended up with a two-out triple. Now he's got runners on first and second and nobody out. It's still early in this one, but it just feels like these next couple batters are huge.
Absolutely, and the Keys already shifting their outfield to counter Hernandez with the poolside hit.
First pitch to Hernandez is hit high in the air to straight center. Coming in on it is Wright, and he'll make the catch. So a big out number one with no advance.
That's huge for the Keys there, getting Hernandez out, but also not having the runners advance. Now there's one gone, and a double play gets him out of the inning.
Hernandez definitely will be frustrated with that as he heads back to the dugout. So we got Logan Matthew now stepping in out of Liberty University. Matthew has some pop as well. his 15 home runs led the A's Sun. He was a 2017 Rawlings and Perfect Game All-American and Atlantic Region second team in high school, Belfont Area High School. As the first pitch he sees is slicing it out onto the road, foul, strike one. No balls and one strike here to Drew Minter pitching to Logan Matthew as that ball is inside, 1-1. Minter trying to work out of a jam here, one in already. The Black Bears getting their first run of the game. They still trail the Keys 5-1 here in the third. One out, runners on first and second. Matthew looking to pull the Black Bears within one with one swing of the bat. The 2-1 is spiked and blocked well back there by Trevor Johnson, so three balls and a strike.
This is a crucial spot. I mean, Drew Minter, the last thing he wants to do is potentially walk Matthew here on 2-1, but you also don't want to give up the hit either.
Three balls and one strike. Matthew looking to unload on one here. Here's the 3-1 from Minter. It's up high. Ball four. Or excuse me. That is ball three. The scoreboard was incorrect. Thought it was 2-1, but I didn't want to say anything. So let's try this again, Drew. It is now 3-1.
Always got to trust your gut.
Runners on first and second. Matthew will now look to do some damage here. The pitch is... now ball four, we think.
Yeah, you had the right idea. You were just a pitch ahead of the ball game.
See, I know what's going on. Kind of. So the bases will be loaded here with one out. It's Adon Fernandez, and it'll be a visit by pitching coach Dennis Rasmussen. Talk over some strategy here.
This is something that the Black Bears have not done through... 7 1/3 against Gio Rivera here in the second half. Not Gio Rivera, good
Drew
lord.
Minter.
Drew Minter, yes. Gio Rivera was drafted from the Frederick Keys in the first half, but Gio Rivera is a very successful pitcher. Drew Minter trying to replicate some of that success and now running into some troubles here in the third.
Folks, you got to understand, it is humid. We are sweating up here right now, so cut us a little bit some slack. It's hot.
I had Garrett's game notes in front of me, and that was why Gio Rivera was on the brain.
So now stepping in is Adon Fernandez. He had the pinch hit double last night. He struck out swinging his first time. That was last inning. No action in either bullpen, so both starters still going here. As Minter kicks and delivers, and it is laced to left, but it's going to hang up there. No, it won't. It'll drop. So a base hit jump. Had everybody, including the Black Bears base runners, fooled that he was going to go get that. So it ends up being his RBI single, and we'll move station to station.
And that'll do the job, you know. You just take it one pitch, one batter at a time, and Adon Fernandez is able to do the work. And now go-ahead run, and Jack Elliott comes to the plate.
That honestly looked like it was going to stay up, Drew.
It looked like it originally off the bat, and then it just died out there in left field, and Hunter Jump recognizing... as he was sprinting in, that one, unfortunately for him, was going to drop.
So now Jack Elliott, he's got some pop as well. A half-hearted attempt at a pitch well in the dirt for strike one. So score now 5-2. Bases loaded here in the third. The Black Bears, seems like they need one or two more here, Drew.
Oh, you would have to imagine. I mean, this is a crucial scenario. You have to take advantage. Even if you get one in, that is a much better spot to be in than what it is currently.
Deep fly ball will get the job done, or should get the job done. As the 0-1 pitch, it's a good hold. It's inside, and another good block by Johnson back there. He's doing a real nice job keeping runners where they are.
And nobody's loosening in the Frederick Keys bullpen either, so this is Drew Minter's game to work through, at least for the time being.
Minter's hill to die on, that's for sure. There's 1-1 to the Black Bear third baseman. Bases loaded, one out, 5-2 Keys. It is in there for strike two. That's a big pitch.
And now I think Trevor Johnson, the one who kind of bought a call there at a pitch, looked to be a little high, but now a crucial spot here for Jack Elliott.
We have a Key running to the bullpen right now in the warning track, maybe a catcher.
I think it's going to be the bullpen catcher.
Yeah, so maybe some action down there. As a 1-2 is inside. Two balls and two strikes here. Another big pitch coming up. Bases full of bears here in Morgantown. One out, 5-2 Keys. Drew Minter pitching to Jack Elliott. The 2-2 pitches. Oh, in there, strike three. I don't know about that one, Drew.
That one, very close. You can tell Jack Elliott certainly does not agree. And we check it here on the replay. Oh, yeah, Johnson bought that call. You can completely understand Jack Elliott's frustration there.
Tough for the Bears and Elliott. Yeah, of course, the Bears did get a call or two earlier. So Anthony Stellan stepping in now. He walked his first time. Takes ball one low. Cannot stress enough how big it is to get at least one more here.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a crucial spot here for Anthony Stellan. A little bit of undeserved pressure after what was truly an atrocious call from Chris Richards. I don't say that very often, but that call was atrocious.
One ball and no strikes here to Stellan. There's the pitch, and it is fouled to the right side. So one ball and one strike. Stellan at Concord University. All MEC first team and all tournament team. For Stellan, the shortstop today, grounds it to his opposing shortstop, who will flip to second, score it 6-4, and the Keys are out of it. The Black Bears send eight guys to the plate. They leave the bases loaded, score two, Keys 5, Black Bears 2, headed to the fourth on the Black Bears Radio Network.
Surgical therapies tailored to your needs. Our board-certified, fellowship-trained oncologists offer industry-leading, minimally invasive techniques with smaller incisions, meaning less pain and a faster recovery. Visit wvumedicine.org/cancer.
We're back here for the top of the fourth inning. The Black Bears strike for two. Leave the bases loaded in the third. Feels like you needed a couple more there, but Ryan Mann is back out for the fourth. He's really kind of settled into this game pretty nice. He's given up five runs. I don't know if all of those have been deservingly scored, but you have to deal with it. Mann still looking to eat innings and keep the Black Bears in this game. Amir Wright, his third plate appearance here, now in the fourth inning. First pitch to him is high, ball one. Wright singled and scored in the first. Flew out to center field to start the second. Leading off his third inning now. It's in there for strike one.
And again, this is a big spot here for Ryan Mann. Only gave up the one run in the third. You got to go out there and put up another zero.
And that one is laced through the hole on the right side. It's a hard hit single, so make it 2-for-3 for Amir Wright. Looks like we got some movement down in the Black Bears bullpen. Nobody throwing yet, but there is life down there. He hadn't seen anything before. So Hunter Jump will come to the plate now. Jump reached on the Stellan air in the first and scored. Lined out to the center fielder Hill last inning. He works with a runner on first base. Does man. First pitch is down low. Ball one. So man came into this inning with 58 pitches. This will be number 63 of the night. We're in the fourth inning with nobody out. He had a 29-pitch first, 12-pitch second, and a 17-pitch third. The 1-0 is outside, two balls and no strikes. The chant is, let's go Black Bears here at Monongahela County Ballpark. Small business Saturday here at the park. Of course, a kids' day tomorrow. Bring the little ones out. They can run the bases after the game. Balls, no strike. Pitch from Mann is fouled back to the screen. 2-1.
Jake Plastiak is looking to get up here in the inning. Of course, Ryan Mann certainly not wanting that to be the case. In the hole right now is Plastiak, but Hunter Jump, a very aggressive hack, almost swung and fell down because he moved the bat so hard.
They'll check on right at first. Rightfully so, he's got very good speed. So two balls and one strike to the Keys left fielder. As Mann delivers, the runner takes off, but the ball is fouled off the Black Bears dugout. So two balls, two strikes. Wright will have to go back to first base.
And that's the speed I was talking about in the pregame show with Amir Wright. You knew it was only a matter of time when he got on that he was going to try and test the arm of Santini. He got a great jump there and kind of shakes his head a little bit heading back to first.
Two balls, two strikes, no one out, right on first base. Good speed, as we mentioned before. Ryan Mann looking for an out, preferably a double play. But he'll take any out, I'm sure. 2-2 pitch is fouled off to the left side off the screen. So 2-2, the count remains. As the Keys send someone down there to go get that baseball. Hunter Jump out of the University of Kentucky, as well as his teammate Jake Plastiak. As Mann will check on Wright, who dives back in safely. And Matthew thinks he might have got him with a hidden ball trick over there. Or some variation of it. He like faked the throw back and then tagged Wright and then reacted as if he was off the bag.
I mean, Matthew trying to buy his pitcher an out. I certainly respect the hustle. And now Catman calls time. Are they going to talk about this?
I think they are going to talk about this. Matthew was adamant that he had him because I saw him fake back and then look right back to Wright, and he quickly applied the tag as if when Wright was getting up, he was not holding the base.
Wow.
Which, man, would Joe Oliver probably more than likely blow his top if this is an out?
Oh, Joe Oliver's already down there putting his hands up, confused about, you know, what they're possibly discussing. I was thinking the same thing as you. If they rule that runner in Amir Wright out over at first base, we might see Joe Oliver get tossed for the second time.
Is it bad that I'm hoping he's out?
No, because I was thinking the same thing.
So they're talking about it here as you get a look on the replay. He slides in safe. The throw is high. Matthew fakes. I don't know. Oh, he's safe. Okay. I looked like Catman was going to make the out symbol for a second. I was ready to freak out up here. So that's more than likely the right call. Time was never called. So the count's still 2-2. This will be the sixth pitch to Hunter Jump. I'm expecting Wright to maybe take off here. He's got another aggressive lead. Interesting shift to the left-hand hitter as well. Wide open on the right side. There goes Wright again. It's ball three. The throw down by Santini is just late. Stolen base for Amir Wright.
And you knew Amir Wright wasn't going to try and get himself fooled by the hit and ball trick. Ooh. Again. And great throw from Santini. Just second late there as Stellan applied the tag.
Right on the money. It was a very good jump by Amir Wright. I actually probably would have thrown over again if I was Ryan Mann, but so be it. Runner on second now, 3-2 to Hunter Jump. He slices this foul out of play down the left field line, probably onto the road over there. So three balls, two strikes here. This will be pitch number 8 coming up to Hunter Jump. Runner on second, nobody out. The Keys lead at 5-2 here in the fourth. Game on pace to be just over 3 hours at the moment, about 3:15. First pitch was at 7:07 tonight. It's 8:24 Eastern as the 3-2 pitch is down low, ball 4. So an 8-pitch walk, and the Keys have set up shop.
And that's a great job there by Hunter Jump, able to draw the walk, battling, waiting for a pitch that he liked, never really getting one, but man, unable to locate the zone and able to draw the walk was Hunter Jump.
So first and second, nobody out. 3-4-5 coming up for the Keys. Not a good situation here if you're the Black Bears. Looks like every single player in the West Virginia bullpen is stretching or moving or doing something down there. Nobody's up yet, officially. First pitch to Berkey is tipped into the glove of Santini, strike 1. So no balls and a strike here on the 3-hitter, Evan Berkey. He had the excuse me swing RBI double. In the first, he struck out looking in the second. Here's the 0-1 pitch, swung on and missed. A flailing swing from Berkey. Of course, he disagreed so much with the strike 3 in the second that Joe Oliver had to make sure he wasn't tossed from the game by coming out of the dugout to get him in away from the home plate umpire, I should say. So no balls and two strikes. Man looking for a big K here. It's crucial that this game stays where it is. Here's the pitch. It is chopped to the right side. Elliott has it. He'll go to second for one, and that's all they're going to get. So they get an out, and runners will be at the corners with one away.
And the Black Bears honestly should have had a shot to turn two, but Maddox Houghton bobbling there from on the transfer between glove and throwing hand, and that ultimately killed any sort of rally that the Black Bears would have had with turning two.
You can actually see him say sorry to Ryan Mann on the replay there. So that'll bring up Jake Plastiak, and we officially have an arm out there in the West Virginia bullpen. It is Ian McMahon loosening the left-hander. Plastiak, switch hitter, hitting out of the left side for the third time tonight. The runner takes off immediately, and the ball is laced right back up the middle for an RBI base hit. The runner, Berkey, will move to third, and it's 6-2 Keys.
And that ball scorched by Plastiak right back up the middle. Mann had to really jump out of the way of it. Santini now going out to talk to Mann. But the runner at third base now in Berkey, that one's going to hurt if you're Ryan Mann. We know Maddox Houghton, as we saw on the replay monitor, apologizing. But if he comes in to score, that's really going to put a nail in the coffin on this one.
Yeah, you got to think Mann's leash is getting short. As McMahon is getting loose. Not quite throwing from the rubber yet. Still loosening up. Catcher out there still standing. Trevor Johnson steps in now. He struck out looking in the first. Bounced out. It was actually the terrific play by Matthew in the third, robbing him of a hit. A lot of room on that right side once again. First and third, one out. The first pitch is in there for a strike. Ground ball would be ideal here for Ryan Mann, or a pop-up or a strikeout. Really anything to keep that runner at third from scoring. Here's the 0-1 pitch. It is popped foul over our head. So 0-2 once again here. He had Berkey 0-2. Got him to bounce into the fielder's choice. Double play depth for West Virginia. Both middle infielders are shaded towards the second base bag. Third baseman Elliott is about 4 or 5 steps off the bag and 3 steps back. And, of course, Matthew holding on Plastiak. The 0-2 pitch is well outside. Trying to frame it as Santini, obviously to no avail. He was set up in the other batter's box.
Yeah, Santini really just trying to do his best there. I mean, why not? We saw Chris Richards with an atrocious call the last time the Bears were up to the plate. I mean, why not try and sell it at this point?
1-2, the pitch. Plastiak runs it. It's popped up into the air. Center fielder Hill is under it. He'll make the catch, and the run's going to score without a throw. So the Keys open up a 7-2 lead.
And successful job there for Trevor Johnson. Able to bring the run in despite recording the out. And now, again, a scenario where it's damage control if you're Ryan Mann.
Alex Baeza stepping in. He had a huge 2-RBI single in the first inning, and then he walked and scored in the third. Keys doing a lot of damage with two outs tonight. Frederick leads at 7-2. Ryan Mann laboring here in the fourth inning. First pitch to Baeza's outside, ball one. That was pitch number 20 of the inning. That brings Mann up to 78 total. Got to think this is going to be his last inning as Ian McMahon continues to loosen in the right field bullpen. We'll check on Plastiak back easily. The ball will be thrown back to the pitcher this time. So one ball, no strikes here on the first baseman. We're getting a breeze up here now. Feels good, Drew.
Very nice.
And the 1-0 pitch is fouled to the screen. Count evens at one. The Black Bears down 5 runs here in the top of the fourth. The Keys, with a win tonight, will clinch this series. We have game 3 tomorrow. It's a 4:05 p.m. first pitch. It's a kids' day. Run the bases after the game as well, so bring your little Black Bears fans out to Mon County Ballpark for that one. Jeremy Cook gets the start tomorrow as well. The 1-1 pitch is ripped foul, one ball and two strikes.
Baeza absolutely unleashed on that baseball, was just well out in front of it, resulting in it being pulled foul. If he sat back a little bit, may have been able to sneak that one down the right field line.
1-2. Mann looking to put an end to this one. This will be pitch number 80 on the day. Here's the pitch. It is looped to the left side. Elliott will give chase, and it's out of play. Count remains at 1-2 here. This will be pitch number 24 of this fourth inning. Mann threw 29 in the first, 12 in the second, 17 in the third. As he sets up on the first base side of the rubber, gets his sign. Kicks and delivers. He struck him out, swinging on the high heat. So Ryan Mann, you got to think his day will be done. He ends up throwing 82 pitches, and we'll head to the bottom of the fourth. The Keys lead the Black Bears 7-2 here on the Black Bears Radio Network. Back here at Mon County Ballpark, the Keys lead the Black Bears 7-2. Here in the bottom of the fourth, it'll be J.C. Santini, Maddox Houghton, and Turner Hill. Here in the Black Bears' fourth. West Virginia needs to keep chipping away. You know they're not going to quit, and they're going to make this interesting, you got to think, Drew. They just need to shut it down on the defensive side.
Absolutely. It starts with not conceding runs and then giving your offense a chance to even be in a competitive ball game. And we're already in that spot where it's in the middle between competitive and out of hand. So this is a crucial spot. If the Bears could even pick up just a run here in the fourth, that would do wonders. And then you get a fresh arm in McMahon out of the pen.
So Santini out of Northwestern, he popped out to the third baseman in the second. Only Black Bear not to hit last inning. Takes ball one low. Drew Minter doing good work once again against the Black Bears. His last eight innings have been very good here at Mon County Ballpark. The 1-0 pitch is in there, strike one. Count evens at one. So right now, Ryan Mann, if this is the end for him, which it looks like it is, he'll give up seven runs on eight hits, only four of those being earned, though. The 1-1 pitch is down low, 2-1 to J.C. Santini.
That's a good take there from Santini, recognizing the pitch was just continuing its movement downwards and not even thinking about moving the bat.
Still no activity in Frederick's bullpen, and for good reason. Here's the 2-1 pitch. Santini rips it down the third baseline. A diving stop by Plastiak, but it rolls away. Santini is going to think about two, but throw on the brakes. I think he would have had it, but he stops, and Jake Plastiak went down a little awkward as you get a look at the replay.
Well, the ball actually comes up, and it knocks Plastiak there in the face off of his glove. I mean, that was the delay there in Plastiak getting up and then quickly realized that it was rolling down towards the third base camera well and having to get up, and did so just in time, as if he would have waited another second, Santini probably would have committed to second base.
Probably good thing Santini didn't go, not the fastest, and on the replay he definitely would have more than likely been out. So it's a single for J.C. Santini, I believe, as that pitch is skied to the first base side and nobody's going to get it in foul territory. It goes off actually the top of the railing that separates the field from the berm.
You would have to imagine that that goes down as an infield single. It was always going to be a tough play for Plastiak, even if he didn't wear it in the face. And a tough play there for Claiborne as well, but he slightly misjudged it, as it was certainly playable, ricocheting off of the top of the low fence down there near the right field berm.
See if Maddox Houghton can make him pay. And Plastiak definitely saved extra bases there, so can't be too mad at him if you're a Key, or Key fan for that matter. So 0-1, Houghton squares the bunt. That ball is in the dirt, so pulls back in time, 1-1. Santini on first after the infield single is what it's ruled officially. The right call there. Maddox Houghton walked and scored last inning. The Black Bears looking to pull closer than they already are at the moment. They're down 7-2 here in the fourth, and never say die Black Bears. You know they're still in this game, even though it's a five-run deficit. The 1-1 pitch is up high, 2-1. If Santini can get on, if Houghton can get on.
Move Santini to second. I mean, if that was where you were going with it.
I believe so. What I was going with is the top of the order would have two on and nobody out, and that's what you like to see. And the pitch is fouled off over our heads once again, so 2-2. Turner Hill's on deck, hitting 509 coming into this one, down to 491. He's flown out to center and reached on an error before scoring, so he's due. Yes, he's due after being 0-2, which is hard to believe, but he is. Two balls and two strikes here. Minter sets at the belt and delivers. Just outside, a good take by Houghton, goes to three balls and two strikes.
And now Houghton's in that awkward scenario, needing to protect on two strikes but not wanting to swing and miss at ball four, or swing at ball four in general, I should say.
Wondering if they're going to put Santini in motion here. I would not personally, but it's definitely a possibility here. So 3-2, Minter set at the belt. Santini takes off. Houghton takes ball four. First and second and nobody out.
And you certainly understand the notion there to send Santini down to second at the very least. The potential to cut out the double play. And then now you get two on with nobody out for the top of the order, as you mentioned just a second ago.
Exactly what you want if you're the Black Bears. Two on, nobody out for your best contact hitter, I should say. Hitting near 500. 491 at the moment. 509 coming into this game. I mentioned he's flown out to center. He reached on an error and scored in the third, which was last inning. Minter sets at the belt and delivers. Hill squares the bunt, pulls back, pitches high, ball one. And we've seen Minter get behind a lot of hitters early.
We have, and that has honestly been part of his downfall, especially here in this fourth inning, in the third inning. He's just got to throw strikes early in the count, and that changes the entire outcome of the at-bat.
1-0 to Hill. Ruben Fontes lurks on deck. The pitch is in there at the knees. Strike one. Turner Hill out of Marietta College hit 443 there this season. We mentioned that in the open. So it's no surprise that he's hitting around 500 here in the draft league. Professional hitter. One ball, one strike. Minter sets at the belt, gets his sign, and delivers. Hill takes ball two outside. Hitters count.
Good take there from Hill. Fastball with a lot of late tail to it, recognizing it was going to be nowhere near the zone, and wouldn't be shocked if we saw Turner Hill sign an undrafted free agent contract as a result of his performances.
Him, Hernandez, Plastiak, I'm expecting all of them to at least get an offer here after the season is over. So Hill squares the bunt again and bunts it foul. And a good thing as well, because Johnson was out of the crouch quick and they probably would have had Santini at third.
And that was exactly where Johnson looked first coming out of the crouch. He could have cared less about Turner Hill sprinting down the first base line. That lead runner is the one that Johnson wanted to gun down. And honestly, not the greatest location on the bunt for Turner Hill, but it goes foul. So at the end of the day, no harm done.
Two balls, two strikes now. Hill has to protect. Runners on first and second. Nobody out. Minter set at the belt once again and checks the runner at second base. Just looking him back. No throw. Santini gives a couple of claps out there. And looks like Frederick finally has somebody loosening.
Connor Woods getting up. He was throwing in the third when Minter was struggling a bit.
2-2 once again. The pitch. Hill lifts it to right. Going back on it is Oldham. He's got room and will make the catch. Tagging is Santini. He will get to third. So first and third and one out.
I thought for a split second the Black Bears may have pulled something off there as Matt Oldham completely lost sight of that baseball. You saw him for a second throw his hands up in the air as if to say he couldn't see it. And then at the last possible opportunity, got a beat on it in the lights.
Maybe losing in the lights. It's a little bit past that twilight hour where things start to disappear. So that's why you've got to chalk that one up to the lights. So that brings up Ruben Fontes. Fly out to left field and a single thus far. A sac fly, of course, would work. I think everybody would take that, both teams, but the Black Bears would really prefer a base hit here as they need to just chip away as they'll throw over to first base, check on the runner, Maddox Houghton, and do we see the Little League Jed Jerko double steal here? I think we do.
You got to at least tempt it. At the very least, test the arm of Trevor Johnson. If he does throw down, the ball could get away, and then, of course, could always send J.C. Santini towards the plate.
Houghton not going anywhere, and the first pitch to Fontes is a strike. So definitely expecting that at some point here during this at-bat. Houghton is speedy as well, so he can just outright go himself.
And you knew it really wasn't going to happen on the first pitch. It rarely does, and waiting game now to see when Houghton takes off, because you don't want to possibly run into the scenario of grounding into a double play.
Here's the 0-1 pitch. Fontes checking, and oh, man, rung up out there by Tony Veltri, who has an awful angle. That was not a strike.
We check it here on the replay.
He held it right where he was.
That's very close, but I don't think he went. I mean, it's an awful angle. Derek Shelton got tossed from the Pirates game last night for a very similar scenario.
That's the second pretty bad call we've seen to go against the Black Bears tonight, as they'll check on Houghton at first, and he's back easily. So 0-2 now on Ruben Fontes. Looks to protect now after getting a called strike by the third base umpire, who's at second base right now. Fontes lifts this to left field, giving Chase's Hunter jump. He's going to run out of room. It's foul.
And as that ball was there off the bat of Fontes, my first thought obviously would have been plenty deep enough to score Santini, but I'm wanting that ball to just continue tailing foul as it did. I want Fontes to have the opportunity here to drop one into a gap for a base hit and keep it at just one out.
So the Black Bears feeling the squeeze a little bit here in this game in some big spots. It's still 0-2. Fontes looks to protect. Of course, the worst case scenario here would be a ground ball at an infielder. First and third, one out. They'll check on Houghton again. He's back safely. Would you be surprised to see him go anywhere?
I would not be surprised if he took off. In fact, I would be more surprised if he stayed over there at first base, because Frederick's infield, the middle infielders especially, add double play depth.
The 0-2 pitch, Houghton not going anywhere. It's high. It would not have been a good one to run on.
No.
So 1-2. I'm actually kind of expecting him to take off now. Jimmy Galuski relays the signs. I'm expecting a off-speed pitch from Minter. So it would be a good thing maybe to send Houghton here. Minter sets the 1-2 pitch. Fontes lines it to right field. Oh, it just goes foul. Late slice on that one. Looked like he was ticketed for the corner. Foul by about a foot. And Houghton, he faked like he was going to second there. But, oh, man, so close to get a look at the replay here.
And that one, that's the ball Fontes wants. If he sits back just a half a second, that one is down into the corner by the 325 sign. I mean, that was the pitch right there for Ruben Fontes. And now he's got to wait and see if he can get another one.
West Virginia still has runners on the corners. Fontes prolonging his at-bat once again. Minter sets the 1-2 pitch, is called strike three, and Fontes knew it right away. Just dropped the off-speed pitch in there beautifully, two away.
Check it here on the replay. It's a curveball.
Right down the middle.
I mean, like you said, it's right down the middle. I don't understand why the bat never moved for Fontes. I mean, you've got to protect there on two strikes. Anything close you swing at, and that one's right down Main Street.
Big spot here for Ryan Hernandez. I've said it a lot tonight. It just feels the Black Bears need runs, and they left the bases loaded last inning. They got two home. It felt like they needed more. You have first and third, first and second, nobody out. First and third, one out. You haven't gotten one in here. Really need something from Hernandez, preferably in the gap or over the wall. As they'll check on Houghton again, he's back safely. I don't think I really expect Houghton to go anywhere with Hernandez up and two outs.
No, certainly. Wouldn't expect him to be sent now. I mean, there's no need for breaking up a double play. You just got to keep guys on at this point, and you can't run yourself into an out. The Black Bears 2-for-8 in scoring position tonight. Got to be better.
First pitch to Hernandez. Oh, a good curveball. It was a home run swing from Hernandez. If that's a fastball, that thing is gone. But whiffing 0-1.
You could tell Ryan Hernandez sitting on the fastball, and you mentioned, if that was anything with a little bit more velo, that's cranked beyond the Frederick bullpen in left field.
Some lightning in the distance out to right field, and Hernandez wisely lays off that pitch to 1-1. Hernandez tripled off the literal top of the wall, the yellow stripe in right field. It was a high towering fly ball, missed a homer by a couple inches. It was a two-out triple. He was unable to score in that inning, and then he came up with the bases
loaded, I believe, or two on and nobody out last inning and flew out to center field. As they'll check on Houghton for what seems like the 80th time. Still back safely as the scoreboard yells boring at the pitcher, A.J. Minter. I tend to agree.
I love when the scoreboard graphics do those boring.
Yeah, they are hilarious. With the sleeping black bear on the limb.
Yes.
The 1-1 pitch to Hernandez is laced down the right left field line. I think it hit Santini.
It did, and Santini immediately pops up and
hit him right in the right shoulder blade. And that, folks, is why you go down and foul and back and fair, because if it does hit you, it's a foul ball and not an out.
And it's great base running there from J.C. Santini. Immediately popped up and gave Hernandez the thumbs up, letting him know he was good. I mean, that's a...
Orion Hernandez bullet to the back.
That's something nobody wants to deal with, but also a scary sight for J.C. Santini. I mean, we saw him take a pitch to the neck just last homestand against Frederick.
It is his throwing arm as well, so we'll see if he can continue behind the plate. Hopefully he can. I think he will. Anyway, it's 1-2 to Hernandez here. Minter sets and delivers and barely getting a piece of it. And I mean barely is Hernandez. He stays alive.
That one just came off the end of the barrel there for Ryan Hernandez. And J.C. Santini, I know, just a few steps down the line and back to the third base bag, but he appears to be perfectly fine out there on third base. Probably just wind up with a little bit of a bruise just below his neck.
Wouldn't be surprised to see Metcalf again tomorrow then. As Ryan Hernandez stands in, the 1-2 pitch is outside. Another good take. Drew Minter has really labored this inning, but is a strike away from getting out of it.
And that sometimes is the beauty of baseball, you know. You see pitchers labor time and time again, and then things connect for them at the right time, and they limit the damage, strand a pair of runners, and Drew Minter looking to do just that.
This will be the 27th pitch of the inning for Drew Minter. He came in at 55. Ian McMahon's loose down in the Black Bears pen. Hernandez stands in. Minter sets for the 2-2 pitch. Here it comes. Houghton goes. It's low ball three, and Houghton will have second base standing, so a single really makes this one interesting again.
Absolutely it does. I mean, you have this opportunity now where if Hernandez can drop one in, it's a three-run ball game, and suddenly this one becomes a lot more interesting.
So three balls, two strikes, two outs. Runners on second and third. The Black Bears are down five. A single will more than likely make that three. As the crowds yell about a bird, hopefully it doesn't die like the moth. And Hernandez swings and misses strike three. So the Black Bears, they strand two more, and it feels like yet another missed opportunity. We will head to the fifth inning. Key seven, Black Bears two.
I think they were yelling go Bears.
Total joint replacement is one of the most successful surgeries ever done, as long as it's done right. Think about it like the alignment on your car. If your alignment is off, your tires wear out faster. Robotic-assisted joint replacement surgery at WVU Medicine ensures that the implants are in the exact spot they should be. If you have a joint problem in West Virginia, there's no reason to go anywhere else but WVU Medicine. For more information, visit wvumedicine.org/joint.
Talking to Catman, or he was.
He was?
Craig.
Is there kind of storm out?
No.
Back here at Monongahela County Ballpark, the night is done for Ryan Mann. 4 innings, 8 hits, 7 runs, 4 earned, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. He faced 24. He gives way to the left-hander, Ian McMahon. What can you tell me about McMahon, Drew?
McMahon, we saw him in the first half here for West Virginia. Certainly a guy who doesn't throw the hardest out of the bullpen, but can locate all three of his pitches, primarily a fastball, changeup, curveball arsenal for the southpaw, and chance for him now to eat these middle innings and get to the back end of the bullpen in the later innings.
Man out of John A. Logan College. First pitch is outside. Ball one to Matt Oldham. Oldham has a walk and a single. He's reached second in both of his plate appearances. Has not gone farther than that, as McMahon is 1-0 with a 7-2-0 in 6 relief appearances. Only 5 innings this season. So that's 6 hits, 4 runs, a home run. He's hit 4 guys as well. 3 of those, I believe, came in the same game, if I'm not mistaken. And the first one's lasered. Houghton with a nice pick at second. A looping throw to first. One away.
And that's exactly right there what Ian McMahon does best. Soft contact right at one of his defenders. And credit to Maddox Houghton going down to a knee, fielding that one on the crow hop. And plenty of time able to toss that one over to Logan Matthew at first.
Now stepping in is Calvin Rucker. 2 RBI singles to his credit. Out of Tampa Bay, Florida, Savannah State was where he played his collegiate ball. The first pitch is down low for ball one. Around the draft league, it's 3-0 Williamsport. Trenton threatening in the bottom of the eighth. Oh, now 3-2 Williamsport. Trenton with a runner on third in the bottom of the eighth. As, oh, I'm not really sure where that pitch missed. It's 2 balls and no strikes.
The real question is, does Chris Richards even know where it missed?
I don't think Chris Richards knows where he is right now. 2 balls and no strikes to Calvin Rucker. Black Bear is not getting any favors from any of the umpires tonight. That one's in there. Strike one, pretty much in the same location as the last pitch.
Well, we almost got a favor from Catman when Logan Matthew tried to do the hidden ball trick.
Almost, but we didn't. 2 balls and a strike. It's fouled off to the screen. 2-2. State College up on Mahoning Valley, 5-2. The Scrappers looking to snap their 9-game losing streak. If all results hold, that will not happen. Of course, Frederick leading 7-2 here at the Mon. The count is 2-2 on Calvin Rucker. Ian McMahon in the game, 1 out. It was a nice play by Maddox Houghton at second base. The 2-2 pitch is down low. 3 balls, 2 strikes.
It's a tough take there for Ian McMahon. Thought he got the chase by Rucker, and Frederick DH holds up just in time.
So looks like it's still going to be Drew Minter. I don't see anybody up right now for Frederick. Black Bears bullpen obviously quiet with McMahon just entering. 3-2 pitch is spiked in the dirt, ball 4, so a 1-out base runner. And reaching for a third time tonight is Rucker.
And that's a tough spot there for Ian McMahon. Just the fastball. You like the idea of him going down and in on Rucker, but just well low there of the zone. And now, I mean, of course, you could try to turn two, but Claiborne's got speed on the bases.
Claiborne has flown out to right and popped out to third in the first and the third. As he shows, bunt does not pull back. Strike one. Pitch was definitely out of the zone, so a little bit of a favor done there by Claiborne.
We'll take it.
The 0-1 pitch swung on and missed. Strike two. We approach 9 o'clock here at Mon County Ballpark. First pitch was at 7:07. We're in the top of the fifth. McMahon works from the third base side of the rubber. No balls, two strikes on Tyrese Claiborne. He sets at the letters, looks in, and delivers. Claiborne will flare it extremely soft through the vacated right side of the infield, and a little bit unlucky. It's a base hit first and second for the top of the order.
And that right there is something that you saw Ryan Mann give up a lot of, where it was just a little bit beyond the base runner, Calvin Rucker. He had to hold up, make sure he didn't get drilled, and then able to take second in the process. And whether it was Maddox Houghton or Logan Mathew, neither of them had any shot to even keep that one in the infield.
Frustrating, to say the least. I don't want to say it's bad defensive positioning, because you obviously you're playing to the numbers. It's just unfortunate defensive positioning. As now up is Amir Wright. He uses his fourth plate appearance, and we're in the fifth inning. He swings through an 85-mile-an-hour pitch for strike one. Wright singled and scored in the first, flew out in the second, and singled, stole second, and scored in the fourth. Two hits, two runs, and a stolen base for him. That is Amir Wright. McMahon checks the runners and delivers. It's pops to the left side. Might be trouble. Out is Elliott, and it'll be the left fielder making a sliding catch. It's Adon Fernandez. He had to come a long way for that one. Two away.
And honestly, I'm surprised that Jack Elliott continued out that far, because he was trying to make the over-the-shoulder grab that was always going to be a tough play for him to try and make, and only giving way to Adon Fernandez at the very last second.
Well, it all works out for the Black Bears. You can't afford to give up any more if you're West Virginia right now, so this is another big at-bat. Hunter Jump comes to the plate. He reached on an error and scored in the first. He lined out to center in the second. He walked and was erased on a fielder's choice last inning. First and second, two outs. McMahon working here in for a strike. Maybe the first call to really go the Black Bears' way tonight that was not very good.
I mean, we'll give Santini some credit. He's bought a few strikes.
That was pretty low, in my opinion.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing, but nice frame jobs from Santini.
0-1 pitch is in there, strike two. That was framed very well. I think it was a strike regardless.
Yeah, that one's in there regardless. I mean, Santini obviously helping Chris Richards make the call, but that one would have been in there regardless of who's behind the plate.
The 0-2 pitch, good hold by Jump as the fell off the table. Is a nice pitch by McMahon. So one ball, two strikes. McMahon's going to go get some rosin.
And that's the nifty curveball there from Ian McMahon that fools a lot of hitters. We saw Hunter Jump almost become the latest victim and then held up just in time.
The 1-2 is laced to left. It's going to hang up there. So a line out to Adon Fernandez, and McMahon tightropes out of danger. We're halfway home here at Monongahela County Ballpark, 7-2 Keys. Drew Minter is out once again for a fifth inning of work. Not all that surprising. He's labored a bit over the last two innings, but has kept the damage at a minimum, that's for sure. As he's at 82 pitches coming into the fifth. As it will be 4-5-6, Matthew Fernandez and Elliott to face Drew Minter. The Black Bears still looking to chip away. Lots of outs left. 15 of them to be exact.
Absolutely. I mean, there's still plenty of time. You just got to start chipping away at the lead sooner rather than later.
Some major league action today. A couple doubleheaders. The Mets defeating the Braves 8-5 in game one, as well as the Mariners defeating the Angels 2-1 in the first end of their doubleheader. Cubs beating the Marlins 4-0 and Guardians over the Astros 4-1. As in the draft league, scores remain the same from as last time. 3-2 Williamsport in the top of the ninth and 5-2 State College in the bottom of the sixth. 7-2 Keys here in the bottom of the fifth. The first pitch is high to Logan Mathieu, and I haven't really been keeping track here. I just know it's a lot of first pitch balls by Drew Minter tonight.
It's certainly much higher than the number of first pitch strikes, as he's really struggled early in the count.
Flailing miss by Mathieu. One ball and one strike, and the Black Bears have done a good job getting runners on base early in innings. They've just had some difficulty getting them in. Two runs tonight. They've left five on base the last two innings. The base is loaded in the third, and runners at second and third last inning. The 1-1 pitch from Minter is a high fly ball to deep right center. It's going to stay in the park, and the center fielder on a long run by Wright will make the catch. One away.
And that one sounded good off the bat there for Logan Mathieu. Just unfortunately got underneath it a bit too much and easily playable for Amir Wright, who calls off Matt Odom.
Here's Adon Fernandez, the left fielder, at a nice play, sliding grab last inning. Struck out swinging, and he has an RBI single to his credit thus far. Minter kicks and deals once again in the dirt, ball one. It's been kind of ridiculous how many first pitch balls. They just keep mentioning it because it keeps happening. Minter coming set at the belt, getting his sign. Deep breath, winds up and delivers. In there, strike one, looping curveball right down the middle.
And even though Minter has thrown very few first pitch strikes, it's a credit to him and his resiliency for being able to battle back into the count and keep the Black Bears offense in check.
This one is rolled to short, going to be a tough play. It is made by Berkey. He gets Fernandez two away.
And that one, with as slow as it was rolling, you thought Fernandez was going to have a little bit of a chance. If it was a little bit speedier of a runner, it would have been a tougher play, but got there just in time for Berkey to fire on to first and possibly get Minter one step closer to getting through five.
First pitch here to Elliott is in there, strike one. Minter looking for a quick inning, maybe earning himself a sixth. It's unlikely, but possible.
I wouldn't imagine. I mean, he's at 88 pitches right now.
The 0-1 is outside, ball one. So that was actually a first pitch strike. First one we've seen in a while from Drew Minter. That was the pitch number 90 for the right-hander. Kicks and delivers to Elliott, who looks at ball two outside. More activity down in Frederick's bullpen as another flash of lightning off in the distance.
It's far away. We're all good.
Hopefully. Two balls and a strike. Elliott looking for some two-out magic. Coming set, winding up and delivering the 2-1 pitch. It's a high pop-up to shallow left field. Coming in is Jump. He'll make the catch, and an unceremonious inning for the Black Bears will head to the 6-7-2 Keys here on the Black Bears Radio Network.
Center, helping people around the region and across the country take back control of their lives. Call 855-WVU-CARE or visit visit wvumedicine.org/RNI/epilepsycenter.
All right, we're back here in the top of the sixth inning. Evan Berkey will lead off for Frederick. His second inning of work now by Ian McMahon. A clean first, and Berkey starts by sending this one to right field, tossing the bat in disgust as the catch is made by Fontes. One pitch, one out.
And that's what it takes right there for Ian McMahon. You know, it doesn't have to be pretty, just has to be a routine fly ball out of the right field just like that, and it gets the job done.
So Plastiak enters now. He'll be hitting right-handed for the first time in four trips tonight. Strikeout, swinging, a fly out to center field, and an RBI single. McMahon's first pitch is in there, strike one. Keys leading at 7-2, feeling a bit insurmountable for the Black Bears right now, but we know this team is a never-say-die attitude for Jed Jerko, and they're always in it. They're going to need some runs soon, running out of outs. Defensively, McMahon trying to hold the Keys at seven runs, and that one is low, one ball and one strike. Williamsport has added on. They're up 4-2 now in the ninth. State College remains a 5-2 leader. One pitch is flailed on and missed. A nice curveball by McMahon, 1-2.
And again, that curveball there from McMahon working wonders and gets another swing and a miss.
Another final today from Major League Baseball. The Orioles beating the Pirates 6-3. Of course, the closest franchises to these two franchises and ex-affiliates, actually, as that one is inside, two balls and two strikes. The Keys used to be a minor league affiliate of the Orioles. Of course, the Black Bears, the former single A short season affiliate for the Pittsburgh Pirates, now find themselves as draft league rivals. Two balls and two strikes to Jake Plastiak. McMahon's pitch is down low. A nice curveball and an even better hold by Plastiak.
And that curveball is one of those that fools a lot of hitters, and when you get somebody with the experience of Jake Plastiak, it's really going to have to bend late to fool him.
Three balls, two strikes, one out to Plastiak. The pitch is in there. He struck him out looking. Plastiak disagrees. And I think Santini got another one.
Check it here on the replay. Yep, Santini got it.
Not complaining about the strikeout, but I do have to mention, Richards has not been very good back there. You've noticed it more when the Black Bears are at the plate because it seems to be happening in bigger situations, but starting to be at least even with the calls.
What's the counter up to now with bot strikes for Santini?
I'm up to like 6 or 7. And I'm up to 4 for Trevor Johnson, who stands in now. So we'll see how that worked out, Drew. Ball one.
Perfect timing.
Love when that happens. One ball, no strike pitch, and giving it a ride to center field is Johnson, but playable. Hill takes three steps back now, two in, makes the catch. A nice 1-2-3 inning for Ian McMahon. It's time to get some runs. We're through 5.5, 7-2 Keys.
Including gluten-free and vegan offerings, as well as safety and friendly.
Connor Woods is the new arm for the Frederick Keys. Drew Minter goes five. Let's up two earned runs, four hits, four walks, four strikeouts, faced 24, ran into trouble, but really gutted his way through it. And another impressive outing here at Monongalia County Ballpark.
Absolutely. I mean, Drew Minter just continues to make light work of this Black Bears lineup, conceding four runs over 10 innings for Minter. Chalks up to very solid numbers, even 4-4 in terms of walks and strikeouts. But now a chance for the Black Bears offense to get to work against Connor Woods, who has a 6.75 ERA out of UNLV. So chance here for West Virginia to try and shorten this deficit.
You mentioned he's made three appearances, I believe. He's thrown four innings, given up four runs, three earned. Three walks to six strikeouts, so a very high strikeout rate. But those three walks, it's averaging one an appearance, I should say. He's also hit a man, so averaging a free base runner an inning. Opponents have a 1.75 whip and 2.35 average against him, so definitely a candidate to get some runs off of, and that's exactly what the Black Bears need. It's 7-8-9 in the order. We'll see if they can get some more bottom-of-the-order magic. They've been pretty good tonight.
Absolutely. Black Bears need the bottom of the order to pull through here for them and turn the lineup over, and with a pitcher like Connor Woods, now is as good of a time as ever to do so.
The bottom of the order may only be 1-for-3 tonight, but they also have three walks, a steal, and a run. The first pitch is up high for ball one. Nothing new there from a Keys pitcher. Ball one to start us out. One ball, no strikes. Woods kicks and delivers. It is a strike on the outer half. No complaints about that one. 1-1. Woods kicks, delivers the 1-1 pitch. It's fouled off to the right side. Count now moves to one ball and two strikes on the shortstop, Anthony Stellan.
That's a good cut right there from Stellan, just getting underneath it a little bit. Pitch that was up and in, recognizing that Woods is probably going to favor that area of the zone consistently.
The 1-2 pitch is chopped foul on the left side. It'll live to fight another pitch. As Connor Woods, as mentioned before, he's out of UNLV, fifth year there, right-hander, exclusively a reliever for the Rebels. He had a 9.47 ERA in 15 appearances. And the 1-2 is up high, two balls and two strikes. This spring was actually the highest ERA he's posted out of the five seasons of collegiate ball at UNLV. 6.46 career collegiate ERA. All five of those years are with the Rebels. Two balls and two strikes now to Anthony Stellan, and time is called. In 94 and two-thirds collegiate innings, he struck out 90 and walked 50. Very high walk right there, as that is also fouled off by Stellan. We'll see pitch number seven here.
And again, Stellan just continues the fight. I mean, he's not going down without that fight, and it's something that he's done all season long out of Division II Concord University.
Two balls, two strikes here to Anthony Stellan. The pitch is down low. I saw it was down low, but the way that Chris Richards motioned and some of the calls he's had tonight, wasn't sure if he was going to ring him up or not.
Never say never.
Full count here. The windup and the payoff is outside. Just missed ball four. It's a 8-pitch walk to lead us off here and looking for runs.
That one very close to take for Anthony Stellan. Probably a little bit too close for my comfort zone, but Stellan finds his way on, and that's all we can ask for.
So 1-for-3 with four walks now is the bottom third of the Black Bears order. That's usually how you win baseball games. Of course, the bottom of the Keys order has been better with a couple RBIs and four hits. They're 4-for-7 with two walks and a couple RBIs. So you win baseball games hitting 1-9, and both teams have done that. The Keys have, of course, more than the Black Bears. Large hole on the right side once again for Santini. The first pitch is bouncing, gets away from the catcher. Moving up to second easily is Anthony Stellan on the wild pitch.
Runner in scoring position. The Black Bears will take that certainly as now J.C. Santini chance to be a little bit of a difference maker with that potential ribby on base.
And this is definitely the guy that you want to score off of. Control issues in the past hasn't been all that great. Before you get into the Ramirez's and Volkers of the Frederick bullpen. Middle innings here. Bottom of the sixth, the Keys leading it 7-2. Williamsport has opened up a four-run lead. It's 6-2. They all have but won that one in Trenton. So they will stay in first place here in the draft league. And, of course, State College and West Virginia tied with them right now. State College leading it 5-2. Black Bears only first team place team to be trailing right now. The 1-0 is swung on and missed, blown by the catcher Santini at 90 miles per hour. Some other scores around Major League Baseball. The Phillies up on the Nationals 11-4 in the sixth. Very high scoring game there. And the Tigers all over the Rays in the ninth, 9-1. 1-1 on the catcher. Woods blows another fastball right by him at 91. Go right back to it, Drew.
I feel like you have to. I mean, Santini hasn't been able to catch up to it. To this point, I'm a big believer of if it's not broke, you don't fix it.
Chase Lorg was loosening for the Black Bears at one point. We'll see if he comes in or if McMahon keeps working. The 1-2 pitch is just missing, maybe a little low and outside. Very close, another too close to take, but pays off for Santini.
Of course, Santini has the eye of a catcher there, recognizing that that one was a bit down and away, and to your previous point, personally, I'd like to see McMahon go out there for a third inning, whether or not he has enough left in the tank to do so. Unfortunately, we don't know.
2-2 pitches spiked in the dirt. Scampering back to second is Stellan, so we'll work it full 3-2, and a very similar situation here to the third inning, and the fourth inning, with the leadoff man reaching, and now a deep count to this next hitter here, seeing if they can get first and second. The 3-2 pitch is fought away, fouled off at 90 miles an hour. We'll do it again. And you just keep talking about how big it is for the Black Bears just to get traffic on the base pads. They left the bases loaded in the third and runners on second and third in the fourth. You got to think that it's going to fall for them eventually if they keep getting traffic.
I mean, you would like to hope so. You're getting guys on consistently. It's just a matter of bringing them in. That's been the thorn in the Black Bear side.
Payoff pitch once again is looped out to right field. Claiborne is under it, and he'll make the grab. One away and a big out there for Woods.
And that's huge for Frederick and Connor Woods to get that out. I mean, that's the difference between having two on and nobody out and now just one on with one out, especially with the top of the order coming to the plate at some point sooner rather than later.
So Maddox Houghton coming to the plate, and looks like we're evacuating the field. We're going to go into a lightning delay.
Pain.
Yeah.
Saw it just to the right, and immediately Chris Richards ushers everybody off the field. Of course, we've reached the point now where it's a complete game, so this one may or may not come back. Just depends upon how quickly this one can pass. We see umpires talking on the first base side of the field. Member of the grounds crew, I believe.
The thing is that we're in the middle of an inning. And yes, you can call it in the middle of an inning, but it is extremely rare to see that.
We've seen it before here in the draft league. Wouldn't be shocked if we see it again.
I mean, that was a little bit different as it's the bottom of the inning now, and you want to give that trailing team the same amount of outs as the leaders have. So we will see, but the tarp is coming out for the mound.
And it appears as if the Black Bears, their bullpen is emptying. The players are making their way out of the dugout, and now Joe Oliver going to be getting the same message to send all of his players inside. He gets a quick look at the radar And now the keys are starting to make their way out of the left field bullpen. So, of course, as always, when we get updates in regards to when or if this one could potentially be restarted, we'll be sure to bring that to you.
So I'm looking at the radar right now, and a cell just missed us, and there's another line of cells. Looks like it's going to be a direct hit, so a lot of red in there as well. Fingers crossed it's a short delay. The big board reads, due to inclement weather, tonight's game has been delayed, so that is not canceled as of yet. We're hoping that we can play it. Looks like this will be quick, fingers crossed once again, and we're going to head off the air for a while. We'll update you as we can. Hopefully we can finish this baseball game, because the Black Bears have been threatening constantly, and it's just a matter of time before they push some more runs across.
Absolutely. You have to think everything would be falling into place sooner rather than later, and I mean, you can't predict Mother Nature, but this truly is a rally killer for them as they were gaining more and more momentum, and unfortunately we are in the spot where got to evacuate the field and hope and wonder if the Black Bears can keep the momentum going depending upon what happens with this storm.
So we're going to step aside and we'll update you when we know. And hopefully we can resume in 30 or so minutes. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to West Virginia Black Bear Baseball on the Black Bear Radio Network. Back here at Monongahela County Ballpark, unfortunately, this game is being called. Too much lightning and storms in the area. We had a downpour for a while. It is raining decently heavy here now. This game is stopped in the bottom of the sixth with a runner on second and one out for the Black Bears. And the Keys are going to win this one by a score of 7-2. The story of this one here was the Black Bears' early issues defensively. The Keys scored four in the first. As my name is Michael Seitz alongside Drew Von Sayo. We're going to wrap this one up for you. So in the first inning, the Keys scoring four times. Evan Berkey got the party started with a little excuse me check swing double. That scored Amir Wright. That was followed by Alec Beza. Two out, two RBI single, eerily similar to the one he had last night that really put the Black Bears on their heels. And Calvin Rucker, RBI single, rounded out the scoring in the first. In the third inning, Rucker singled once again to give Frederick a 5-0 advantage. Ruben Fontes' RBI single got the Black Bears on the board. It was 5-1. And Adon Fernandez had an RBI single of his own to make the score 5-2 Keys. Frederick would not be denied, though, as they clapped right back. Jake Plastiak, an RBI single, made it 6-2. And Trevor Johnson, his sack fly made it 7-2 Keys. The Black Bears left the bases loaded in the third and then left two on in scoring position in the fourth. So your final thoughts on this one, Drew, as we look forward to tomorrow.
It was the Drew Minter Show once again for the Keys. I mean, he truly was the difference maker. We said it in the pregame show and throughout the broadcast that the Black Bears were really going to have to get to him tonight, and they once again just failed to. I don't know what it is with Drew Minter, but the Black Bears just struggle to hit him compared to other pitchers here in the draft league and even members of the Keys pitching staff. So it's going to be a chance now for the Black Bears to just fight for a consolation game tomorrow.
So they'll try to avoid the sweep. Well, the West Virginia Black Bears tomorrow. It's a 4:05 first pitch. It's a kids' day. Bring the little Black Bears to the ballpark. They can run the bases after the game. Depending on the weather, of course, hopefully we get some good weather here so we can get a full game in. I believe it'll be Jeremy Cook tomorrow for the Black Bears. Do we know the Frederick Keys starter?
Jonathan Pintaro.
Oh, that should be a very good pitching matchup tomorrow between a couple of aces of their respective staffs. And that's all we have for tonight. So for my broadcast partner, Drew Von Sayo, for everybody in the control room, General Manager Leanne Sonato, my name is Michael Seitz. And we will see you back here tomorrow, 3:35, pregame 4:05, first pitch. Have a good night, everybody.